and welcome to The Laydown, a Gibson's Bookstore podcast. I'm Ryan. My pronouns are she, her.
I'm Ashley, also she, her.
And I'm Kate, also she, her.
Hey!
Hey!
So it's the end of February. Somehow.
Why?
That happened.
It's a short one.
It is a short one. That? We also got all of the snow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
It's been a really good ski month.
I bet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't ski, but should. I'm happy for you.
Highly recommend.
I live next to a ski mountain.
I am there every Friday.
Yeah.
And I wave to you as we drive through your town.
You can hear Ashley doing the Ricola
That's
yoga
what it is. That's why Fenway perks up every Friday and goes, who is that?
Turns out it's not a ghost.
It's not a ghost, it's Ashley. We have a fun topic this month because March, as we are careening into March, is, Women's History Month?
Yes, it is!
Ladies! And, so we are going to be celebrating women's rights and women's wrongs with literary ladies we're feral for. Is this just another excuse to talk about Victorian Psycho? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Did I definitely write her on my list even though I knew I wouldn't need to write her down?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's number one on my list, too.
Yeah, same.
Fal was recommending some books for this, and they went, I assume you have Victorian Psycho on there, right? And I said, yes, all of us do. which, by the way, just as of recording this, we're like 4 copies shy from hitting 50 copies of Victorian Psycho sold since Pub Day.
Yes!
We are so close.
We got 12 in today.
Yes.
We had one to sell.
Exactly.
Oh, no. Others were already spoken for.
Yeah.
I don't think that one is still here.
That may have already sold.
It has been a whole 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Kids are on vacation. Parents need to take a vacation in their head with the Victorian Psycho.
It's true.
Yeah.
So if for some reason you haven't bought Victorian Psycho yet,
what are you doing?
I don't know what's wrong with you, but maybe this episode will convince you to finally just do it. But before we jump into the literary ladies we're feral for, let's go ahead and talk about what we've been reading this month since we last recorded.
What are books?
What if we read? I can start if you want, if that would be helpful for you.
Is it okay if most of mine are picture books?
Yes.
Yes.
Only if one of them is Little Freddy Two Pants.
Of course it's Little Freddy Two Pants.
Then we'll allow it.
Another thing we're feral for.
Yes, speaking of feral, we are feral for Little Freddy Two Pants, the dog who wears too many pants.
Too many pants.
My kids love him.
Everybody.
Fina was cackling as I read it.
That's the only option.
Absolutely. I was so glad that she, like, got it. Like, she got the humor.
Yes.
Like, she was like, that's so funny. He's wearing his underwear on top of his pants. And they're on his head. That's so funny. And I was like, yes!
It sure is.
That is so funny.
Just the little diagrams throughout on top of the illustration.
Yes.
Just a little sketch of a monkey with a sketch of pants on his head.
Yes.
With a big X through the sketch of pants on the monkey's head.
Beautiful. Drew Daywalt is a genius.
Oh, it's so good.
Anyway, so we've all been reading that.
Yep.
I actually finished a decent amount of books since we last recorded. Hooray!
Hooray!
You know, sometimes I get stuck, but this month I didn't. So, I did, in fact, finish Our Winter Monster by Dennis Mahoney in time for our event that we had, like, a week ago. What a delight that event was. We had Clay McLeod Chapman, we had Eric LaRocca, we had E.K. Sathew, and we had Dennis Mahoney, and it was so much fun! We talked about horror, and it was great, and we sold out of everyone's books.
Nice.
Insane. And Our Winter Monster is about a snow monster, but it's more about a relationship between a couple who have a shared trauma that they experienced a year before. And that trauma is manifesting as a snow monster that's killing a lot of people.
Uh-oh.
I
hate when that happens.
It's intense. It is great. It was much deeper than I expected it to be. Having started it and being like, this is a very fun snow monster story. And then by the end, I was like, oh, that was really emotional. Dennis. So that was really, really good. And then I read a few romance novels that were really fun. Deep End by Allie Hazelwood. Listen, if you're an Allie Hazelwood fan, I don't need to say anything. It's a swimmer romance. That's all you need to know. It's great. It's great. And there's pools involved. It's great. That's all I'm gonna say.
I was gonna make an underwater laughing sound, and then I realized that's not a thing I can do. So just take a moment to picture a burbling, gurgling sound in your mind, and I'm giving you a thumbs up.
Perfect. I also read Go Luck Yourself by Sarah Rash, which is the next book in her little series of the holiday romances. It's like the royal... The Holiday Royals, or I forget what the actual series name is, but the first one is The Prince of Halloween and The Prince of Christmas. And then this one is St. Patrick's Day, and I forget the other one. The St. Patrick's Day guy is the only one who matters. He's great. Love him. I think it's one of the other Christmas guys, I think. You'd think I'd remember. It doesn't matter. It's great. Very, very cute little romance, and... weirdly, like, fascinating politics between these, like, princes and princesses of holidays. Like, I was like, that part's not gonna matter. I'm just here for the romance. And then I was, like, so into, like, but how are you gonna get Easter on board? Oh no, what's happening to the magic of Christmas? Like, I was so into it. So, you know, it's a good time. And then I also read the third book in Rebecca Thorne's cute little, like, tea romances. This one's called Tea You at the Altar. Aww. And so, like, the first one is, like, a couple who opens, like, a bookshop and tea shop, and they're just like, and it's so cute. And then there's also like an adventure that happens, so it's a little bit like Legends and Lattes, but with the adventure dialed up just a little bit.
Ooh.
And so, and like the second one is them, but there's like pirates involved, and there's like a pirate adventure. And then in this one, they're back at home and they're preparing for their wedding, but also their wedding is a plot to unseat this like bad queen, basically. Ooh. it's so fun, and like the romance is part of it, but it's really more about the little like adventure. So they're cozy but with a little bit of a dialed up adventure. So it's like everybody who, you know, devoured Legends and Lattes but was like, but I want more of the, like, sword fighting. We got you with
a little
Rebecca
more
Thorne.
Legend.
Yes. Yes. So those are absolutely delightful. And then the Tea at the Altar comes out March 4th.
Yay!
Yay! And then there's another one that comes out in, like, August or something. Like, she's cranking them out, so.
Nice.
Delightful.
Man.
Right? I also read the sequel, The Antique Hunter's Death on the Red Sea by C.L. Miller. Yes. So, these are, what's the first one called? The Antique Hunter's Guide to Murder is the first one. And then this one is Death on the Red Sea. C.L. Miller is, like, of the Miller Antiques family. Like, these are, like, the actual antique people. And
the heir to the antique throne.
I genuinely was gonna describe her that way. But they're so much fun. I wrote in my StoryGraph review that, like, this series is what Argyle wanted to be.
Oh.
They're really fun. They're, like, quirky, but there's, like, genuine, cool, antique, like, history and knowledge in there. And, like, this one is, like, a cozy mystery because it takes place on, like, a cruise ship. And they're so much fun. They're very mild. Like, there's no like gore or like big death. Like the main character is not out to solve a murder mystery. She's out to figure out where the stolen antiques went and who took them. Like that's like, she's so specifically like, I'm not here to solve who murdered that guy. I want to know what happened to the painting. And I love her for it. So
good to have priorities.
They're so fun. They're really, it's a fun series. I would also recommend them for people who read, I'm totally blanking on the title, The McMaster's Guide to Homicide, Murder Your Employer. If you read Murder Your Employer and you liked that, you will also like the Antique Hunters series because it's like a very similar, like, droll British mystery that with like not very high stakes, but like high stakes if you're an antiquer.
The latest Kate Atkinson Jackson Brody mystery is also a private eye hired about this antique painting. Oh, nobody's dead. There's a British family who's losing all their money, so they're pretending to open a murder mystery. You don't have to read the rest of the series, but you get to just jump in and watch all these maniacs with too much and not enough money make a big old British mess.
I love that. I love that. That's so fun. I love just dipping in and watching rich people ruin themselves.
Yes.
It's so fun. And then I also read the new book by Erica T. Worth, The Haunting of Room 904. This was a book that was like on my radar for a really long time because they sent us like 12 arcs of it. Like they just kept sending it and I just kept being like, I'll get to it. And then I finally got to it, and it's really good. it's like very, like, 1408-esque. Like, there's a haunted room, and it's like every, there's like a time period, and it's, you know, every certain amount of years, a woman will go into that room and never come out. And it's like the hotel has tried, you know, blocking off the room. They've tried, like, no one's allowed to stay there. And, like, somehow a woman will end up in that room and she will not come out. And so our main character has these, like, abilities, these, like, supernatural abilities. She's an indigenous woman and she can, like, commune with spirits and, like, at times it's sort of, I think she gets like kind of possessed by them. And she realizes that there is a connection to her family. Like she starts, like she's helping out someone else by kind of communing and, you know, she's like, oh, this person is possessed by this like demon thing. And she is like, oh, this is like the Native Americans who were murdered at this site are like mad.
Yes.
And as they should be, like rightfully mad, and they are going after the descendants of the people who killed them.
Oh, I love this.
And it's connected to her family in some way, and so she realizes that her mother is marked to be like, she's the next victim of this room, and so she has to get in there and like commune with the spirit and be like, we're on your side. Like, yes, you are correct in this, but also like, you gotta stop murdering people. It is, and it's like really tense, but it's also, you know, it's scary, but there's a lot about like familial love and also revenge. And it's like, it checks so many boxes. Erica T. Worth, her previous book was White Horse, which is also amazing.
White Horse rules.
It's so good. And so this is her new one. It comes out in a couple weeks. And I really recommend it. It was really, really good. And again, like, if you liked the movie 1408, like, this has a lot of the, like, DNA of that, but extrapolates it in a really cool way. So I really...
Sold.
Right? It's really good. And then a couple, I'm still finishing up both The Nightbirds by Christopher Golden and When the Wolf Comes Home by Nat Cassidy. We have an event with them as well as Eric Nanali on May 6th. So I am slowly but surely picking my way through those books. They're so good. The Nat Cassidy book, oh my god, I started this book and I was like, cool, it's like a werewolf book. Fun. Oh my god, it's so much more than that. Oh, there's like a kid who has been sheltered his whole life. Turns out, really good reason. He's got some powers that are real scary.
Oh, boy.
And a lot of chaos follows this poor sweet child. good lord, it is insane. It's a very, like, propulsive book. Like, it's all happening, like, in real time. And, like, there's no breaks. Like, it is just... Once you get going, you're like, oh, we're not stopping. Oh, there's no time jumps here. Like, this is continuing. Okay, cool. So that one's really fun. And then The Nightbirds by Christopher Golden is... I'm about halfway through, and it is so creepy and... You have a character who's like on this research boat, but the boat is docked. Like it's not like an active ship that is going around. It's this boat that has basically like nature has taken over, and so the boat stays in one spot, but there's like trees growing up through it, and so this guy does all this research of the nature around this boat, and he's staying out there, and this crazy storm comes through that like no one saw coming, and these massive birds appear, and they are real scary and also maybe not birds. real good, real spooky. I love Chris Golden, he's the best. I'm also listening to Carmilla for the first time.
Ooh.
Joe would be so proud of me.
Speaking of women's rights and wrongs.
Exactly.
Carmilla time.
Exactly. It's delightful. I always hesitate with classics because I'm like, oof, I don't read classics well. Like, I don't have the brain for classics. But this one is like, it could have been written a week ago. Like, it's so good. Carmilla is... There's something about her. Oh, boy. Oh, Carmilla.
There's just something about her.
Loving that. And I just started Such a Pretty Smile by Christy DeMeester, which is also a women's wrongs book. I have been meaning to read this book for years, literally. I bought it as a hardcover years ago, and I love Christy DeMeester as a person and just had not gotten around to actually sitting down and reading this book. Christy DeMeester makes horror-themed candles.
Ooh.
And she has an Etsy shop. And I have bought so many candles from her. Like, I think I have, like, 25 candles made by Christy DeMeester.
That doesn't sound like enough.
I need more. They're based on all my like favorite movies, and she does them based off of books too. She has a bunch of Rachel Harrison ones, and like they're so good, and they smell so good. Anyway, I love her. And I just started Such a Pretty Smile, and it's so good, and it is absolutely one of those female rage books aimed at you know, if you've ever been told you'd be prettier if you smiled, this is the book for you. So that's where I'm at. I will pass it off to either one of you, but that's what I've been doing.
I have read very few books recently.
That's
I don't
okay.
know what my problem is. I just can't pick them right now. I did, in the mix, read Victorian Psycho, which went very fast. And I could have used more. I'm in for a prequel and a sequel. I've got questions that I want answered.
Enter the Psychoverse.
Yes. I did eventually finish Love in the Time of Cholera. Still didn't love it. Listened back to to one of the Lay Down episodes that Kate, I think it was like maybe your first, and you, it was magical realism or real magicalism.
Or real magicalism. That's a totally real thing.
And I felt really happy when you said you didn't love this one, but you did love 100 Years of Solitude. Because the whole time I was like, I think this one's just not for me, but like 100 Years of Solitude is. So I was glad to hear that I wasn't alone. And then it was suddenly February, just now it's suddenly not almost. And so I try every February, since it's Black History Month, to only read Black authors. And I found an ARC in the office that was pretty good. Great Black Hope comes out in June. It's like rich-ish New York City kids who get into some shenanigans, but because they're Black, the shenanigans are amplified. I mean, they're not amplified, but like society is like, oh, well, you only got into this trouble because you're Black. So kind of a bummer, but like storyline wise, but very well written. It reads very well and very quickly. So that part was good, even though it was sad-ish. Mm-hmm. And then I am currently reading The Fire This Time, which is also a bummer.
But a righteous one.
A righteous bummer, yeah. So it's like it's 10 years old now or something. Maybe not that old. I don't know. It's oldish, but it was like a modern take on The Fire Next Time. Classic Baldwin. And Jessamyn Ward compiled and edited it, and it's essays and poetry about the Black experience now and how nothing has changed. Yeah. Everything is still terrible, and yeah. Why are we like this? And then also Dismantling the Master's Clock, which Elizabeth had pulled an arc of for me. The subtitle is On Race, Space, and Time. Mm-hmm. I think she'd overheard me talking about like time travel-y, physics-y type book that I had read recently, and she was like, oh, you love reading about these three things. Here's this book that does it all. It's real heavy on the race, which is fine, because Black History Month, that's what I'm in for. It's light on the time and the space, which is a bummer for me.
Aww.
But still, like, super interesting stuff. Again, a bit of a bummer, just because we are a pretty terrible society.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, and you would think that by now things would have gotten better, but they just refuse to.
Mm.
So that's where I'm at.
No. Fun.
I'm gonna read some real light and fluffy ones when I'm done with these.
That sounds like a plan. What about you, Kate?
Well, speaking of light and fluffy, I spend a lot of time on the kids' side of the store, so I read a lot of kids' books. And we had three great picture books come out this Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about Little Freddy Two Pants.
The best book ever.
It's so good.
Ashley's pick for book of the year. And I think she's right. So Little Freddy Two Pants is delightful. Kids love it. Dogs love it. People love it. It's wonderful. Pick it up ASAP.
Pick it up. Make your dog wear some pants and yes. Send us photos of it.
Yes, because
we cannot get enough of dogs in pants.
Oh, yeah.
We make
front pants,
Fenway,
back pants, all pants.
Side pants.
Head pants. Fenway wore some pants. Rue wore some pants.
Yep.
Ron attempted some pants and ran
Ron
away.
Ron got stressed out by pants.
Ron doesn't like pants.
Yeah, he tried and then he had to take a nap.
Yep.
He's more of a shirt guy. He's
relatable.
Got real Winnie the Pooh energy.
Yeah, Fenway likes shirts.
But it's,
but yeah.
Oh, it's so delightful. It's such a good read aloud book. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. The illustrations are fun. There's a new one out from Jashar Awan called Every Monday Mabel. And beautiful primary colors, really neat sponge block printing techniques.
Ooh.
And it's about a little girl who is absolutely obsessed with the garbage truck and cannot wait for the garbage truck to come every Monday morning and has a whole routine, and her parents are in on it. She drags a big chair to the window to watch. It's so cute. I love it so much. It's just delightful. And then Shark Girl, a new book from Kate Beaton. Yeah! Wah, 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 wah! And all the copies of Shark Girl that came in here are autographed.
Oh my gosh! Oh,
what a magical Tuesday that was. I don't want to tell you anything about Shark Girl other than it's perfect and you need to come read it.
Excellent.
An adult book that I loved that I put in Staff Rex this Tuesday that also came out this Tuesday, but I suppose it's not my staff pick because we all went Victorian Psycho.
True.
Which, if you haven't bought it yet, do it so we can hit 50.
Yeah.
Deep Cuts by Holly Brickley.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I am of a certain millennial age, about the same age as the characters in that book. And there's this really awesome girl, then woman, who gets in early on the music blogging scene and is the brains behind a handsome dumb boy in a band and doesn't get the credit she deserves. And every chapter is dedicated to a piece of music that she loves, and most of them are real. And then some of them are the songs that have been created in the book.
Oh my gosh.
It was such a real time capsule. There was so much about the 2003 East Coast blackout. And I was 19 years old, driving around, definitely not taking do not enter street signs and blocking somebody into their porch. Sorry, Chris. But it was just a delightful, really smart, cool slice of a very certain time of MySpace. The real MySpace book. So if you are a millennial, that book is for you. And then I'm currently reading The Minotaur by Barbara Vine. Ooh. It's an older book. I found it in our remainders.
Nice.
Because I just needed something like flashy and trashy.
Yeah.
And it's the 60s, a British home where they once had money and now they don't. A very astute, charming young Swedish woman has been brought in to be a nurse to this grown man, where is something wrong with him? We don't know. We have weird ideas about mental health that aren't great. This family's not great. The house has a secret maze in it.
Oh my god.
In it. In the library.
Oh my god.
I'm halfway in. I have no idea where it's going, but I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Incredible.
So that's been my reading at the moment.
Phenomenal. These all sound great. It's so nice to have someone actually tell me what Deep Cuts is about, because they sent me an ARC, and then they gave me a tote bag, and then they invited me to a dinner that I couldn't go to. And I just felt real bad that I kept not reading it. And so it's nice that you have read it, and now I can be like, oh, okay, I will. All right, I will read that. That sounds fun.
So full disclosure, I picked it up because I thought I was going to rage read it. And not because of the content, not because of the author, but it was so blurb heavy on the outside of the arc.
Yes.
All these people love it. You're going to love it. If you don't love it, you're a loser. Everybody's talking about this thing.
Yeah.
Who's everybody? I've heard nobody. So I picked it up ready to be angry, and it won me over on page one.
Incredible. I love that for you. Let's celebrate some women, whether they're right or wrong. I think we all sort of attempted to balance this a little bit with books that celebrate women's rights and also books that celebrate women's wrongs. I will admit that mostly the literary ladies I'm feral for do tend to be of the women's wrongs variety. I love me a female serial killer.
I've gone all over the place. And if I may kick us off with a big old woman's wrong from ultimate hater Virginia Woolf.
Ooh, yes.
This is a thing that she wrote in her diary about a friend of hers, another author, a nice lady who I will not name because I'm not going to be a woman's wrong, but this is just too mean not to. She stinks like a well, a civet cat that has taken to streetwalking. In truth, I'm a little shocked by her commonness at first sight. Her life is so hard and cheap.
Oh my god!
She said that about her friend!
Oh my god!
Happy Women's History.
Well, I think we can end
it
there.
I mean, that encapsulates it, right? I mean, okay, so obviously Victorian Psycho, and we can endlessly gush about Miss Winifred Naughty and all of her wrongs, which, you know,
which are
right.
They're not
quite
not
frankly.
Right.
No.
And
everybody has it coming.
She was wronged most of all.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a pattern I found a lot when I was trying to break up my list of rights and wrongs.
Yeah.
Because I have some women who are just acting wrong, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I have some women who are in the right because they were wronged.
Mm-hmm.
It's all connected.
Absolutely. Two books that I think go hand in hand. I have a couple of these that kind of like are coupled up. They go hand in hand. There's a new delightful to me trope of lesbian cannibals. I'm very into this new trope of lesbian cannibals.
What's not to love?
What's not to love? That's all. I mean, that's all you have to say to sell the books is just lesbian cannibals, and people are like, give it to me now.
Sign me up.
So the first one is Bloom by Delilah S. Dawson, which I have talked about on here before. But basically, it's these two women who meet at a farmer's market. And Ash is this, like, very beautiful, basically perfect woman who sells these, like, lovely soaps and cupcakes and, like, beeswax candles. Like, she's just, like, the woman of the farmer's market. And Rosemary is, like, immediately obsessed with her in a way that she has never been obsessed before. And it turns out that Ash has a secret ingredient in her cupcakes. And I'll just sort of leave it at that. Everything goes great.
My guess is cup or maybe cake.
It's something. And then the other one of lesbian cannibals is brand new. It's called The Lamb. It's by Lucy Rose. And this is lesbian cannibals raising a young girl. And it is told from the young girl's perspective, where her mother is and has always been a cannibal. They sort of lure, like, hikers and things to their home under the pretense of, like, oh, you're so far from town, let me, like, let's get you a hot meal, and we'll, like, call someone for you. You can stay here while your car gets fixed, or whatever the case may be. And then, of course, they kill that person and eat them.
Sure, they had it coming.
God forbid a woman has hobbies.
Right? They just really,
like,
gets
hungry.
Taste.
Yeah. She's supposed to not eat.
Yeah.
She's got needs, you guys.
Need iron. Some blood. Man blood.
Man blood. And then Margot's mom meets Eden, and at first it's going to be Eden is going to be a victim, and then they don't eat Eden, and then she becomes sort of a member of this family, and Eden and Mama have quite the relationship that Margot is very well aware of, is very well informed through the thin walls of what they get up to.
No secrets in this house.
No secrets in this house. But there's something about Eden that just kind of, like, it's not that what they were doing before was not, you know, just awful, But somehow Eden makes it worse. And Margot starts to, she's coming of age, and she starts to be like, are we bad, actually? Is this wrong, actually? And it is a fascinating look at family dynamics and coming of age and this relationship, and it's gothic and it's gross and it is great. It's a debut.
And I didn't realize it was a debut.
It's a debut. Oh. And I cannot wait to see what she does next because, oh my God, if this is where you're starting, oh, buddy. I am very excited.
The cover is gorgeous.
It's so pretty. Well, and that's like Bloom is also beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like these books are like, they have flowers and meat, and it's just so, they're so good. And I love this new trope. And so, those are definitely women's wrongs, you know, but we love them for it. But then there's, you know, we have, okay, I was like, American Rapture by C.J. Lead is, I love C.J. Lead, because with Mayfly, that's definitely a women's wrongs. She's a serial killer. She's Elsa by day, literally, in Disneyland. And then she's just American Psycho by night. Like, she just is, she loves to torture people. She's a bad, bad person. But we love her.
She's living her best life.
Yeah.
We can't be mad at her for that.
We love her. And in fact, I have a friend who does not love her at all. My friend Corey read Mayfly and was like, why do you like this book? She's awful. And I was like, yeah, that's the point. She's really fun to read. And she's like, no, she's not. And I was like, all right, beg to differ. sorry, Corrigan. We love you.
Try again.
So like that, you know, obviously a women's wrong. But with American Rapture, I had it under women's wrongs, but then I was like, but is she wrong, though? So we have this virus spreading across America, which is transforming the infected and making them feral with lust. It's a lust plague.
Uh-oh.
And our main character, Sophie, has been raised uber Catholic. Like, so sheltered Catholic. Like, almost fundamentalist evangelical. Catholic. Like, she does not sin, you know? Like, it is very, like...
Billy Joel wrote a song about her.
Yeah. And, suddenly she is thrown into this apocalypse with this lust plague, and she's trying to traverse that landscape, and she's learning a lot about herself. She's learning a lot about the world that she's literally never seen before. And she just, she's maybe committing some sins that she would never have even considered, never would even have thought about. But, you know, it's the end times. And you gotta do what you gotta do to survive, you know? It is quite the ride. Boy, oh boy.
Would you say it's an apocalypse of locking lips?
Yeah. I would.
I really thought I wasn't going to be able to get that out, so...
Woo-hoo! I'm so proud of you. It's great. I mean, wow, what an insane book. And I would actually say, like, read that and then read Wake Up and Open Your Eyes by Clay McLeod Chapman, because those books are both very different takes on, like, our society right now and, like, different versions of an apocalypse based on our society right now, and it is fascinating. And they're both really kind of goopy.
Just how I like them.
And then I had to throw in my girl Rachel Harrison. So my Women's Wrongs by Rachel Harrison, I have So Thirsty, which is her vampire book. And it's a fun women's wrongs one. It's like women's wrongs, but like, yeah, but you're having fun. Girls being girls, you know? And so it's two best friends who go away for one of, their birthdays, and poor Sloane, she's really going through it. Her boyfriend's cheating on her, and she has found this out, but I don't think she's confronted him yet. And so she just like goes away on this vacation, and she's like, It's her husband, actually. She's just like, I can't confront this right now. Like, I just need to, like, drink wine and be with my best friend. And her best friend's like, let's go party. And Sloane's like, no, I just want to drink wine and, like, sit in a robe in a hotel and, like, do nothing. And her best friend,
party?
Naomi, is like, let's go party. And they end up at maybe the wrong party, or maybe the exact right party, because there's a whole bunch of vampires there.
Oops!
There's an orgy happening. It's so chaotic. And they wake up dead as vampires.
That sounds like a cautionary tale gone wrong. And they wake up dead! But they woke up, right?
And Sloane is so mad about it. She's so mad. But then she's, like, maybe coming to terms with it. She's, like, she hates change. But also she was, like, you know, kind of dealing with, like, getting older and, like, having a hard time with that. And so now, like, she doesn't have to worry about that anymore. She doesn't have to worry about, like, her reflection not being up to par because she doesn't have one anymore.
Yeah. Doesn't have to wear sunscreen every day.
She doesn't have to wear sunscreen every day, you know.
Doesn't have to worry about garlic breath.
Yeah, right? And, like,
it's a long list of rights there.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's, like, a real fun time. And she's coming to terms with it. Naomi's, like, so thirsty. She's so thirsty. And so they have to navigate, like, hey, maybe don't commit a mass murder at the gas station just because you're thirsty. Like, babe, I know you're thirsty. I get it. But, like, we're going to get arrested. It's great. It's so fun. It's so chaotic. It's probably Rachel's, like, sexiest book. I don't know. She's got a few that are up there, but that one it's delightful and full of women's wrongs that are, you know, right. And then Fal wanted me to shout out The Shadows Between Us by Trisha Levenseler, which is this woman is like, hey, I have a plan. I am going to make the king fall in love with me. I'm going to get him to marry me, and then I'm going to kill him so that I can be queen. And basically, the king is like, that's hilarious. Let's, you know what? I like you a lot. It's great. I haven't read it, but Fal was like, you got to read this book. It's so fun. It, like, opens with her, like, murdering someone who wronged her. And I was like,
I'm in.
Count me in.
Women's rights.
Women's rights. So that's what I have for women's wrongs, if you guys want to chime in with yours, and then we can maybe talk about some women's rights.
Sure, I'll jump in with some wrongs. So, starting in fiction, these women's wrongs are definitely women who are behaving poorly, but I am on board with them and with these stories. We've got Alice, Sadie, Celine by Sarah Blakely Cartwright. It just came out in paperback,
nice.
Come on in and pick it up. Two 20-somethings who are in and out of each other's lives and relationships and whatnot and have been best friends forever. And then one of them starts dating her friend's mom.
Oh, no!
Yep.
And not where friend... I saw that sentence going.
Oh, yeah. No.
And her friend's mom is a... So she's a fictional character, but in the book she is a well-respected third-wave feminist author and artist, and so a lot of pressure and attention comes with that, and just the three of them could not be making worse choices, and I was giggling throughout Women's Wrongs. Follow that up with Antiquity by Hannah Johansson. This was described last year as queer Lolita, and hoo-wee! It is not nearly as truly despicable as the actions in Lolita. A lot more of this is thought rather than acted on, but a young woman becomes obsessed with an older female artist who she's supposed to be taking photographs of for, I think it was a magazine, and she follows her to a Greek countryside house for the summer, and then starts trying to insinuate herself between this woman and this woman's teenage daughter.
Oh, no!
It's nothing but wrong choices, but it's great. It is great. It's disgusting and great. Speaking of disgusting and great, we've got Catherine Dunn's classic Geek Love. Ooh, what nice. Is more women's wrong than a matriarch who is intentionally breeding circus freaks? May not be the nicest of language, but I'm using the language of the book. It is gross and weird, and you will love it. Of course, our Victorian psycho.
Yes.
And then we slide over to women's wrongs in fiction, where these women have been done wrong, and this book is great.
Mm.
So The Everlasting by Katie Simpson Smith has four different timelines, starting in like the year 126 AD up through now. And all of them are related and connected. They all take place in Rome, and it all starts with just a little girl on a farm minding her own business who gets wronged so hard it changes history forever.
Oh my gosh.
And I know it's like, that sounds bleh, but it's romantic and thoughtful and fascinating. I just loved it. Hmm. And I found it because it was a Joe recommendation.
That tracks.
Back when I was still a customer. My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell is another Lolita-esque story. It's about a young woman who is groomed and abused by an older teacher who seduces her with that book and with his other writing, and she is done so wrong, and this happens constantly to real women all the time, that she spends her whole adult life defending the fact that no, she wasn't a victim. Mm-hmm. It was romantic. She had choice. She was in charge, and it's heartbreaking, but it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Everyone Knows Your Mother is a Witch by Rivka Galchen, which is a fictionalized account of the true story of the mother of Copernicus.
Oh,
like
my God.
Mr. Mathematics, Copernicus. His mom was a fairly well-to-do woman in her little village, and she had medical knowledge and farming knowledge that women had at that time, and people get jealous of her and decide, you're a witch. We want your stuff. We want your house.
Ugh.
And the entire thing is written as her dictated diary because she can't read or write.
Oh my God.
And it's funny in the way that Mad Men or Sopranos is funny.
Got it.
Yep. And it's definitely worth it. She gets wronged, but she gets to do some writing, too, so.
Nice.
I'll end that on a happy note. Then I've got women's wrongs in nonfiction. There's a new book out about Babbitts and Didion, where they are quite snarky to each other. And the author,
on
Lily...
On a scale of one to Adelaide. Virginia Woolf, how snarky are we talking?
We're talking how mean Zelda Fitzgerald is to Ernest Hemingway in Movable Feast. Layers of snark. But it's really fascinating because both women were heralded as these feminist movers and shakers, and both had very strong feelings about each other and very strong feelings about the world, and were both treated poorly, especially by a lot of other women. Women's wrongs! Tigress of Forlì by Elizabeth Lev is about Caterina Riaro Sforza de' Medici. I got so far. I was almost
You
there.
Did so good.
I got so far. This was before the Medicis were a powerhouse, and she's another one who was a teenager and was married off a million times to all these horrible men, but then she started, you know, orchestrating some of their deaths, and she threatened a lot of military people and got in fights with the Pope all the time, and
I mean,
she was pretty cool. She had a whole lot of terrible children, and several of them were being held captive by the army on the other side of the city, because it was early non-unified Italy, and everyone was just at war with each other all the time.
Oh no.
And they said, get out here or we're gonna kill your kids. And so she got out there on the parapets and pulled her many layers of dress up over her head and said, in Italian, go ahead, I have everything I need to make more right here.
Oh my god, what a legend.
Women's right. I love her. Then there's You Don't Belong Here, How Three Women Rewrote the History of War by Elizabeth Becker. She is an incredible war journalist and correspondent. She survived being kidnapped by the Khmer Rouge and whatnot. She's got a wild story. Her personal story is full of men telling her she can't do things. And then she wrote a book about Catherine Leroy, Kate Webb, and Frances Fitzgerald, who were some of the first women on the ground in World War II, in Vietnam, in Laos, like all over the place. And they all had very different backgrounds and very different beliefs, but they all did incredible work where people were working so hard to take them down, and they did not let that happen. Then last but not least in my nonfiction of wrongs, Carmen Maria Machado's In the Dream House.
Oh, yeah.
An incredible memoir of a terrible, terrible relationship full of domestic abuse. And she just wrote this incredibly moving, fascinating, bizarre document of what she lived through. And it's, oh, wronged so hard, but that book is so right.
Incredible.
All right, my lists are very short. When Ryan texted that this was the theme, Tim and I were on the couch reading, and I went, ugh. And he goes, what's wrong? I was like, the podcast theme is women. I gotta pretend that I like them as a group. So, background on me, I grew up in a literal sea of estrogen. Two moms, me, my sister.
Oh my god, that's so
we
many
had
women.
Some boy cats, but they were very effeminate, and so I rebel by, like, not being super lady-oriented. However,
hey, it's your right.
It is my right, yes. I mean, the wronger the lady, the better, if you ask me. So Team Fred Forever, Victorian Psycho, don't really need to add anything there. Other ladies' wrongs, but I love them. Mary from Our Hideous Progeny. It turns out she's Victor Frankenstein's great niece, finds his notes. She and her husband are geologists in the time of the Bone Wars. And so she's like, I think we can do this with a dinosaur?
Oh my god.
How have I not heard of this?
Great question.
Oh, women's wrong! Women's wrong!
Oh my god.
But in the best way possible. I mean, it doesn't go great.
Sure.
It is wrong from the beginning through the end, but
what could go wrong?
Turns out a lot.
Life finds a way?
But throughout the course of the project, she finds out that she doesn't love her husband because he's kind of a dink, but she finds love with one of her girlfriends, and it's very sweet. Aww. And they don't end up bringing back dinosaurs a la Jurassic Park, so no one really dies or gets mauled or anything.
All right, fair.
One of my favorite books. So good. C.E. McGill. It came out last year, late spring, early summer, in paperback. And I did the same. I was like, how did I not hear about this when it came out the first time? Because this is incredible. I am obsessed with Frankenstein, the source material. And Mary Shelley can do no wrong in my brain.
Yeah.
And so I bought it that second. I'm like shelving it. I was like, nope, this one's coming home with me. And it's so, so good. And then another wrong, but that we love, because also she's doing it for the right reasons. Nella in The Lost Apothecary, Sarah Penner, Nella, 18th century England, London, a long time ago.
Ye olden times.
The olden times. The good old days. She is an apothecary for women who have been wronged by their husbands and want to poison them.
Heck,
and yes. She makes it happen in ways that don't lead to anyone suspecting murder or foul play, and she kills a lot of not great dudes, and it's awesome.
That's
excellent.
That's all I have for wrongs.
Do you want to kick us off with some rights?
I will. I didn't really know how to go about making my list for the rights, because wrongs are better and more entertaining.
They're more
exactly. So I just picked a few books that I are written by women and like just nailed it.
Nice. I do like that.
So one is fiction, the rest are non. Natalie Haynes' Stoneblind, retelling of Medusa.
Ooh.
In a way that just works so well. It's told from a couple different points of views, including the snakes, for
Ooh,
a couple of pages.
It's
so rad.
I'm sold based on that alone.
After I finished it, I was reading some reviews of it, and there were a lot of complaints that it was a Medusa story that didn't feature Medusa. The whole thing is told, other than the other points of view, it's from her, but after her head has been turned to stone.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's her telling her story, and I don't know how people missed that. But it's awesome. It's a few years old, but if you haven't read it yet, like, go pick it up right now. And then the nonfiction's Jenny Slate, who I love.
Yes!
She's just so silly and so relatable, and I want to be her best friend so bad.
Yes.
Her first collection of essays, Little Weirds.
Yes.
Which it's a perfect title. Everything about it is right. And
yes.
I love going back to that when I just need, like, a quick little pick-me-up.
Do you know I met her at NEBA last fall?
Oh, so jealous.
I got her. She signed my book, and we talked about children for a hot minute. She's delightful.
She, so my in-laws have a place in Cape adjacent, and whenever we're there, she also is nearby, and I want to go track her down so bad, but, like, I don't want to be the weird fangirl. Then it's just, like, rendered speechless because I'm awkward and weird, and I just be like, we're best friends now.
Friends!
I read your book. I know your brain.
Don't be suspicious.
Which I would not be able to do without being suspicious, so I have not tracked her down yet, but still on my to-do list. Margot Lee Shetterly, Hidden Figures.
Nice.
If you don't want to read the book, watch the movie, I guess. But those ladies, so damn smart and not getting any of the credit they deserve. So they're wronged, but they are very right. Mm. And the way that story is told, also very right.
There are two children's editions that are great, too.
Yes.
So there's one for young readers that's still a traditional chapter book, and then they have an even younger picture book version.
Yes.
That's
so
great.
So good.
Yep.
Start your gals early.
Yes!
And then this one, written by a dude, Richard Rhodes, but about Hedy Lamarr.
Ooh!
Hedy's Folly was recommended to me many moons ago when I was teaching yoga. One of my students found out I was super nerdy and had recently read it, and he was like, you know what book I think you'd like? He was correct. It's fantastic. She was just such a phenomenal woman. So smart. It's just so
personable. I mean, the world loved her. She's beautiful. She's great at everything she did. And then, like, in the background, also basically discovered, invented Wi-Fi. Like,
she's so cool.
So cool. God. I want to be her when I grow up.
Right?
Yeah. And so that's... Those are my rights.
Incredible. The first on my list of women's rights is Long Live Evil by Sarah Rhys Brennan, which Val ran over and was like, you have Sarah Rhys Brennan on that list, right? And I was like, yes, Val, I promise. So this is one, it sort of straddles the line, but mostly it's women's rights. The main character gets sucked into the world of her favorite fantasy series. And it's basically, it's like she's on her deathbed. I think she has cancer. And this woman appears in her hospital room and basically, like, offers her a bargain. And she's like, I can send you to that world right now. And if you can make it out alive, like, you have to find this specific thing. And if you can find that thing, you will come back and you will be cured of cancer and you will be fine. Mm. And she is like, obviously, yes, send me there. And she wakes up in that world and she is the villain.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
She is the villain of the story.
Uh-oh.
And she is, like, mere, like, days, maybe less hours away from being executed.
Oh.
And so she's like, all right, you want to paint me as the villain? I'll give you a villain. And so, but it's great because she's like acting the villain part, but at the same time, like, she is doing good things. Like, she's not doing bad things, and she's like exposing the actual villains of the story, and it is very, very good. And I believe there's a sequel coming out later this year, which is very exciting.
Yes.
The next one on my list is The Redemption of Morgan Bright by Chris Panettiere. This is a book that was recommended to me by Clay McLeod Chapman. He, like, messaged me and he was like, you specifically need to read this book. He's like, I just read it. You need to read it. Please read it. And I said, oh my God, okay. And it is great. He was totally right. I loved it. It is, it takes place in the Hollyhock Asylum, and it feels very old school, like, bad asylum times. And basically the main character, her sister mysteriously died, seemingly having run away from this asylum. She's found, like, on the road leading away from the asylum, and it's this mysterious death and no one will tell her what's going on. And so she admits herself to the asylum under a fake name, and experiences in the moments, like the first day, experiences such a trauma at this asylum that the persona she invented to get herself admitted takes over. And she is spending time in the asylum as this other persona.
Oops.
It is... turns out, and this is not a spoiler because you find this out in, like, chapter 2, it is modern day.
Oh.
This is not an asylum from, like, the 50s or, you know.
Oh, boy.
It is modern day.
We're getting villaged. Asylum,
yes, and this asylum is still, like, taking women in who are hysterical and have disobeyed their husbands. And so our main character, Morgan Bright, is, like, flickering between, like, she's her persona in the asylum, and then she flickers back and she's, like, in a police station months later and is like, how did I get here? What happened? And so you start to piece together what happened at the asylum, what happened with her, what happened with her sister, what's going on with the people running in this asylum, why is it still operational?
Oh my goodness.
It's insane, but it is awesome.
Add another one to my list.
Yeah, it is so good. And then another Rachel Harrison, Black Sheep, is her cult book. And, like, our main character, Vesper, is, you know, she escaped her family's super religious cult. Mm-hmm. And she's just trying to live a normal life. And then she gets a wedding invitation from her cousin. And she looks at the person her cousin is marrying, and it's her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, no.
And she's like,
that's not great.
I'm gonna go to this wedding.
I'm not gonna do anything weird.
I'm gonna go to this wedding. And
I'm be totally normal.
she goes back home, and we are introduced to her mother, a famous scream queen.
Ooh.
Who has all of this horror paraphernalia in her home, and I was like, can I move there? Like, I won't join the cult, probably, but can I have those movie posters and, like, that giant statue, and please? And it turns out the religious cult might not be the religion you are assuming.
Ooh.
Oh.
And I will say no more. It is great.
Equal opportunity cult.
And we love Vesper, and we love her tenacity, and we love her fighting her family. Women's rights. I could not talk about Jade Daniels, my final girl of My Heart is a Chainsaw and the Indian Lake trilogy. Good God, I would die for this girl.
She's on my list too.
I love her. I love her. She's perfect in every way. Look, is she flawed? Yes, but we love her. She is so convinced that her friend, the pretty blonde, is the final girl in the slasher that they're obviously living in.
Totally.
No, Jade, baby girl, you're the final girl. And you are in a slasher. You're in several slashers, actually. And it's real weird. What's happening? But also, you're the final girl. And I love her. Women's rights. She's just the best. I also have lessons in chemistry on here. If we're just talking about, like, really good female main characters, mm-hmm. who are just, like, smart and witty and cool and fighting for the right things.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Women's rights.
Women's rights. I had Bonnie Garmus on the podcast like last year, I think, which was wild because the book had been out for a long time, but the publicist was like, do you want to talk to her? And I was like, yeah, I want to talk to her. She's so cool. And she was an amazing interview. She was so fun to chat with. I just love Lessons in Chemistry. I love that book, and I love that main character. She's just so zesty, and she's like, I'm going to teach all these homemakers chemistry, and I'm going to do it through this cooking show, and you'll never see it coming.
Try to stop me.
And it, like, she, like, kind of leads a revolution, and it's so good. It's so fun. You know, I threw in some YA here because obviously, like, you can't talk about women's rights and not talk about Katniss, right? Leading, sure. Like, let's talk about, like, women leading revolutions. Yeah. We've got Katniss in the Hunger Games. Like, we've got, like,
Katniss Everdeen is written across the whole line in my notebook here.
Like, you just can't talk about women's rights and not talk about Katniss. Like, every time I go back to the Hunger Games, I love her a little bit more.
She's so grumpy and messy and just, I love it.
And, like, somehow she just does it right. Even when she makes bad decisions, she figures out a way to fix them. Like, she's just, I love her. I love her so much. And I also, on that note, love Legendborn by Tracy Dion. Legendborn is a modern-day retelling of King Arthur with a black female protagonist. Mm. And it is the most cathartic. Like, she has to tap into her ancestors' magic and, like, pull it from the roots and just, like, blast it out. And she's amazing. Her name is Bree, and I'm obsessed with her. And in Legendborn, she has like these two parts of her that are at war, and she has to either pick one or like make them work together. And like it is, and also just like in high school, and like it's just like, and like she's black, and so she's dealing with racism, and she's just like, oh my god, I love her. And also, Fal was like, you have to talk about R.F. Kuang and Poppy War.
Arden from the cafe also was like, you gotta talk about Poppy War.
And I was like, I will. So there, Poppy War. Just, if you haven't read it, read it. R.F. Kuang, everything she writes is perfect. Mm-hmm. She writes across every genre you can imagine, and they're all good. She's so good. I know we've talked a ton about Yellowface on the podcast, but I mean all of her books. She's got a new one coming out later this year that I just handed Fal an arc for, and they were like, "Oh my god, Christmas came early!"
Oh yeah, they came running back to the desk. It's wonderful.
So good. Literally everything Alex E. Harrow has ever written can be categorized as either women's rights or women's wrongs. You've got 10,000 Drawers of January, which is, you know, women's rights. Really, you know, she's fun. She's January. I love January. She's tenacious. She's just like, she's just going on her little adventure, figuring things out. You've got the Once and Future Witches, which is women's rights and women's wrongs, because we have like revolutionary, like, witches who are just like changing history. We love. And then you've got her like fairy tale duology with Spindle Splintered and Mirror Mended, which is feminist retellings of fairy tales, because like it's the fairy tales in the multiverse, and they rule.
So good.
They're so good.
Oh, so good.
I want so many more of them. I know she was like, it's a duology, and I was like, but Alex, have you considered just doing every fairy tale? Please. Maybe? Please?
Just keep going.
And just the women save the day. And then I also had to throw in The Witch's Heart by Genevieve Gornicek, because it's Loki's wife, and the whole thing is from her perspective, and she is awesome. I love her. And she has rights and wrongs. And I just love her yelling at Loki a lot. It's real fun. And she's just like, you're bad and dumb. Stop being a horse. What's happening?
Your horse has way too many legs.
Why are my children wolves? What's going on? You suck, but also I love you. Ugh.
Women's wrongs.
My children are going to bring about Ragnarok. Jesus.
It's hard enough being a mom without having to worry about Ragnarok.
Oh my god. And she's like shunned by everyone, but then she's just like, you know what? Whatever.
Fine.
I'm a witch. Let's do this. I love her. And Genevieve Gornicek has also been on the podcast, I think, twice. I think I had her on for her other book, too. But, yeah. So, those were. I had more on my list, but those are my favorites from my list. So, you know.
Nice.
I might throw some extras on the list on the website, you know. And just, like, go through my story graph and be like, more.
I also have come up with a few more just since we've been in the closet.
We're going to be hitting you with an entire bibliography.
Exactly. There's going to be a lot more on the list than we talk about
here.
There
will be a class.
Be prepared. Mm-hmm. Kate, what do you got?
All right. Women's rights. Want to start with some messy memoirs?
Yes.
I Want to Be Where the Normal People Are by Rachel Bloom.
Oh, yeah.
Is hilarious. And she isn't embarrassed by anything.
Mm.
She learns from everything. She's so open. She's so talented. She's so bizarre. And if you don't know her work, she's behind Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yes.
And she came out of the YouTube world and whatnot. And now she's doing all this live theater. She became a mother during the pandemic. She's got all this stuff going on. And if you're going to go for this memoir, you really have to go for the audio, because there is a secret, special, all-musical chapter that is entirely sung. It's if you were a theater kid, if you knew a theater kid, if you hated the theater kids, it doesn't matter. You're going to love this book.
Incredible.
And it's such a mess. It's delightful. And the cover looks like looks like an old school Babysitter's Club yes. cover. It's yes. illustrated it's so good. In that sort of way. It's it's bonkers. I love her. Everything Samantha Irby has ever written.
Yes.
Samantha Irby is queer, disabled, black, hilarious. Mm-hmm. There's nothing she won't talk about. There's no story she won't she won't share. You know, go into the club and poop in your pants pop up quite a bit. She's so self-deprecating, but also so smart, and I love her. Another one you should listen to if you can, because she reads it herself.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, so great. And then another one you should listen to, Strong Female Character by Fern Brady, which I think I talked about on this before.
I think you did, yeah.
Fern Brady is a Scottish stand-up comedian, amongst many other things, and she learned in her 30s that she was autistic after being misdiagnosed as having OCD as a child.
Oh my God.
And she's, you know, she's around yeah. our age, and she was talking about how her whole life it's been, well, you can't be autistic, you have a boyfriend. You can't be autistic. God. You do this. You do that. She worked as a stripper to put herself through school for a while, and they're like, well, autistic people can't be strippers. But not if you're Fern Brady. And, she has the thickest Scottish accent.
Oh, I love that.
She's so funny. She grew up in a super religious community, too, where it's girls, you know, boys have all sorts of stuff going on, but girls, you're just evil. You need to pray. You need to pray harder. This is God punishing you for being a woman.
Of course.
But lo and behold, autistic woman. Love Fern. Love Fern forever. Writes when it comes to fiction. Lauren Groff writes beautiful, beautiful books about all sorts of people and has female protagonists in almost all of her books, mm-hmm. and has an independent bookstore in Florida where she is fighting the good fight constantly.
Yes.
So women's rights to Lauren.
Yes.
Her book Matrix, which is about a person who might have been real, Maria of France, who could have been a medieval abbess. We're not entirely sure.
Oh, interesting.
The little bits of her exist in poetry still. Huh. But this young girl who is too far down the chain to do anything important in palace life gets sold to fulfill a debt to an abbey in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it follows her from being a teenager to being the mother superior. And she builds essentially a feminist utopia with all of her nuns, because it's where else can women read and make beer? And they fight, they protect their land, they protect other people. It's gorgeous. I, never in my life did I want to be a medieval nun, but lo and behold.
Turns out.
Get me to a nunnery.
Take me with you.
So we've got Rachel Ingalls, Mrs. Caliban,
which
is the original Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Women's right. If your husband is being a dip, then go ahead and sleep with a sexy frogman who escaped from a scientific facility.
Yeah.
And he's,
sounds like a plan.
As you do.
He's good. He's very well behaved. Women's rights. Then Raven Leilani's Luster. Is a super sexy book, amongst other things, and she gets wronged being a young black woman trying to climb the ladder in her career and getting slut-shamed when it's not fair and getting in a really weird relationship with a married couple, and the woman has a strange relationship with their adopted daughter. It's so messy, but not... not messy in the way of, like, Alice Sadie Celine, just messy in the way that women are complicated, man. And despite looking out for each other, we're often at each other's throats, too. And it's just, it's a really, really good book.
Nice.
And I put this one over here as fiction, but that's not true. Susan Orlean's The Library Book. It's an incredible book. Specifically, well, it's supposed to be about one library and a fire that was set there. Mm-hmm. But she goes into the history of libraries in America and so much of what a library is and how it functions from the very beginning through now is entirely on the shoulders of women and non-binary people. Mm-hmm. Just doing the work of all of the social mores at once. And it's infuriating and hilarious, like pretty much everything she writes. And then I have some VIPs.
Oh, okay.
So these are both characters and authors and things that have nothing to do with books, but women's rights, women's wrongs. First of all, Louisa May Alcott and Jo March. Women's rights forever. Louisa May supported her entire family while her dummy dad was out floundering about trying to start a utopian sex community, but he was a creep. So it was up to Louisa May, a.k.a. Jo, and she just wanted to write trashy little mystery novels, but it turned out Little Women paid the bills.
There you go.
And she supported her entire family that way. So, way to go, Louisa May. And she was a nurse in the Civil War. All sorts of cool stuff.
So rad.
Margaret Atwood.
Heck yeah.
As both a person in general who, if she has a wrong, she listens and she learns. Yes. And I really appreciate that. Same. And she's created some amazing characters on either side of the divide, from very, very early Edible Woman up through the sequel to Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, you know, there are.
She's got a little bit of everything. So I want to shout out Alias Grace, Handmaid's Tale, Blind Assassin, and Robert Bride specifically. Gillian Flynn, we all know Amazing Amy. But oh man, Libby from Dark Places and every lady in Sharp Objects.
Buddy.
Women's wrongs forever. Elena Ferrante. Who the heck is Elena Ferrante?
Who is it?
Nobody knows, and we're not gonna know, and that's a women's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she's so good about writing about the ugly sides of what it is to be a woman, and she does not care. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Elena Ferrante forever. And then two ladies who are not quite real, but are real in our hearts. The ultimate wrongs, Lady Macbeth and Medea.
Yes.
Thank you, queens.
Yes.
Thank you, queens. And Fal, again, brought this character up. We didn't have a book, but ooh-wee, Elizabeth Bathory. Sometimes you gotta slaughter peasant girls and bathe in their blood to be young forever. You never know.
I love it. I love it so much. I feel like I could talk about this forever, but alas, we will not make our listeners listen forever.
And ever.
And ever. And ever. And ever. I will say we had some folks ask if we were doing our reading challenge this year. We're gonna do it, and so stay tuned. We're gonna finalize our list. We have like 52 categories right now, so we're not doing a bingo card this year. We're just doing a list, and we will finalize that, and I will put it up on Storygraph, and I will share it, and then you can stop tagging me because I will have done the thing.
Women's rights.
Women's rights. So, super quick reminder, Libre.fm, do it. Do the thing. Make an account. What are you waiting for? Use the code LAYDOWN at checkout when you start a new membership, and you get, like, two digital audiobooks for the price of one.
And we recommend it so many.
What a deal. And if you already are a Libre.fm customer, thank you so much. We love you.
Yes, we do.
So, thank you for that. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. I will put a shoppable list of all of these books, plus all the ones we think about later. I'll put it at gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. There will be a link in the show notes.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good.
If you find yourself in our neck of the woods, especially over in the children's department for Women's History Month, we are specifically honoring black women right now, and we're going to have this display up for the whole month and continue to add other people in. But real people, fictional people, authors, characters experiencing joy and love, and we've got them for toddlers up through teens, and we'd love for you to come be a part of it.
Heck yes. Also, the world is a dumpster fire right now, but we're doing some cool stuff. We have our Prismatic Reads program, which we encourage you to look into, whether you would like to
be a person who benefits from Prismatic Reads, or if you would like to be a person who donates to Prismatic Reads, there's info on our website, and I will make sure there are links in the show notes as well. And we've got a display up right now, which will stay up for a while, with, like, books on how to protest safely, and how to be a part of a resistance, and how to resist Amazon, and, you know, things like that. No reason. Anyway, make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on most of them, and the links will be in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye! Ow, ow, ow.